Good morning. It is Sunday, May 1st, 2016, and I'm Pastor Mark Dilley of West Valley Grace Fellowship in Sun City West, Arizona. I pray that the message this morning will be an encouragement to you and strengthen you in your faith and your walk with our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul, in the first three chapters, the first two and a half chapters of Romans, expresses how the whole world is guilty before God. And then he starts to explain how God has provided his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for our sins. And then in chapter 5, it's the great doctrine of justification by faith and our security in that. And then chapter 6 and 7, he shows the problem with sin and the sinful nature and all of that. And then in Romans chapter 8, we conclude chapter 7 with, "Who shall deliver me from this body of sin?" And then he says, "Thank God through Jesus Christ." And so we begin with Romans 8 and verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, acknowledging you as the one and only true God. We bow before you as the Creator of all things and our Redeemer through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh when he walked on this earth, and he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we praise you and thank you for this marvelous gospel of your grace. And we gather together in his name this morning to worship you and to be taught by your Spirit what you would have us know today. And then to conclude today, we celebrate the communion together as members of the body of Christ in remembrance of what he did for us. And so we ask your blessing upon our time here together this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to spend a little time before communion this morning talking about Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I believe this verse implies that there is a judgment and a condemnation for all who are not in Christ. And I trust that everyone here understands that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were baptized into Christ. That's how you got into Christ. And so to be in Christ has really two meanings. One is to be in Christ redemptively, which means that Peter and the 12 apostles are in Christ redemptively. Everybody that has been saved since the creation of man is in Christ redemptively, because there's no salvation apart from Christ. It's only the blood of Christ that can save anybody. And so even though they may not have known that specific gospel, God was accepting their faith in what He made known to them, because He was looking forward to the day when Christ would come and die for their sins also. And so Abraham, it says, God accounted him as righteous because he believed God. And so faith has always been the grounds for salvation. But as we talked about many times, sometimes it wasn't just faith alone. It was faith in what God had made known. And part of that was then, like with Abraham, to believe what God has said and circumcise every male child on their eighth day, or they'll be cut off from the covenant. And so true faith required a response to that. Or like in the Gospels, when someone believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that wasn't enough. It was to believe He was the Messiah and get baptized. And then after He was crucified, died, buried, and ascended, and Peter started preaching, Peter explained to the Israelites that if you'll repent of what you've done and get baptized. And so repenting of what they had done was not enough. They also had to get baptized. And so for us today, in this marvelous revelation given to the Apostle Paul, it is faith alone. There is nothing else required but to believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins. But I believe this verse does imply that there is a condemnation and a judgment for those that are not in Christ. And I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to people about judgment, about hell, and that type of thing, and many of them even brought it up first. Well, do you really believe that a loving God would ever cast anybody into a place of torment? And I believe He will. And I believe it based upon what His Word says. And so let's look at a few verses about how thankful we should be, because for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation for all those who are in Christ Jesus. But I believe that the vast majority of the human race will be in a place of judgment and condemnation one day. And so let's go first of all to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. God is just. What that means is God does what is right. And I pray that every person here believes that. Whatever God does, we have evidence in the Scriptures, evidence in the world through the work of God, that what God does is right. So God is just. And now Paul is talking to the Thessalonians about all the persecution they've gone through as believers in Christ. And he says, he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. And this is one of the things, remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. There is a day coming when all those that throughout history have stored up wrath are coming for that coming day. And this is what Paul's talking about here. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Now, we need to keep in mind, as we've talked a lot about God's gospel for Israel and God's gospel for the church, the body of Christ, what Paul is talking about here, Jesus Christ, when we are taken off this earth in the rapture, he's not going to come, as it is described here, in blazing fire with his powerful angels. This is referring to his second coming to earth when he's coming to judge the earth. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, he will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. And so there's going to be two groups of people, those that are glory in his coming and those that dread his coming. And I don't know if you remember this, but I shared with you one time a while back, it's been a few years now, about talking to two different men that both happened to be dying about the same time. And I read the same passage of Scripture to both of them, and one of them, who was not able to talk, but his wife could tell by his response that, no, stop. He doesn't want to hear that. Please quit. And so I quit. The other one, there was a smile on his face and just a peace in his heart as I shared the Scriptures with him. And so that, and I'm not suggesting I'm anybody's judge, but that day that Paul's talking about here, there's going to be two groups of people. Those that love his appearing, those that are excited about the fact that he's coming, and there's going to be those that are going to be filled with fear and dread because they know what's going to happen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Again, these verses are talking about at the time of the earthly return to Christ for judgment. At the present time, God's not judging the world, contrary to what you might hear a lot of times, like Katrina in New Orleans. A lot of people said, oh, that was God's judgment against that vile city and all of that. The Scriptures teach that today God is not imputing men's sins against them. He's not judging like he did in the Old Testament. We are, thank goodness, under the grace of God today. But there's going to come a day when he is going to judge this earth. And like I say, in Romans it talks about people that are storing up wrath against the day of judgment. And so here in Matthew 13 it says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And There's also another verse that says 1340 through 42. And then I think verse 49 says the same thing, if you jump down there. I can't remember. I was going to write it down. Yeah, it says basically the same thing. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. And then let's go over to Matthew 25, verse 41. Not to make light of this, but cremation would be a picnic compared to this. Because this is going to be virtually an eternal cremation. Matthew 25, 41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then one more, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That is the judgment for every person that dies outside of being in Christ, redemptively. And so, praise the Lord to me, if you truly understand what this is saying, this is where I was headed. This is where you were headed. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing He died for your sins, and that God has forgiven you all your trespasses, you can rejoice with this verse that there is now no condemnation for you. And then let's look at verse 2. Why is there no condemnation? Verse 2 of Romans. Romans 8, 2. Why is there therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. That's why there is no condemnation today for those who are in Christ, because Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners, and we have believed that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions or sins. It is by grace you have been saved. In all of these verses, it talks about sin and life. It's the spirit of life and the spirit, or the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death basically amounts to the fact that every person that's born into this world is born into this world under the law of sin and death. Every person born into this world is considered guilty before God because of our federal head, Adam. Adam, when Adam sinned, God accounts all of us as having sinned in Adam. And therefore, that we live under this whole concept of the law of sin and death. But through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from that. And that's what, in the coming weeks, I'm going to talk about how to live in grace. And the first thing to live in grace and to truly rejoice in grace is to know this truth, that you have been set free completely from the mechanism, or I don't know how to say it, but the machinations of sin and death, because you've been taken out of Adam and you're now in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to suffer in this world, that we're not going to sin in this world, that we're not going to die, but we have been delivered from the law of sin and death. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, this is where these verses really take on their true meaning when you start to understand these things. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death. That's how we were delivered from the law of sin and death, because we have now died with Christ. And so this baptism here has nothing whatsoever to do with water. It has to do with the spiritual act when we trusted Christ. The Spirit of God baptized us into Christ, which baptized us into His death. And then going on with that verse, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Being baptized into His death freed us from the law of sin and death. And being baptized into Christ, we have now been raised up to walk in the spirit of life, in the spirit of a newness of life. And then let's go on to verse 5. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. And again, that's referring to His resurrected life. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him. That's our old man. That's all we were in Adam. Because all of that was, we were under the law of sin and death. That's all been done away with now, because we have been crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Again, that's something that most people don't want to embrace. But from the truth of God's Word, anybody that has not put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior is completely at the control of Satan and sin. They are a slave to both. and they don't know it whatsoever, and most of them would adamantly deny it. They may go to church every Sunday, they may give most of their income to the poor or to the church or anything else. It is not righteous behavior whatsoever. No human being other than the Lord Jesus Christ can in their own strength perform any righteous act. That's why in Romans we're told there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we're told in Isaiah that all of our righteousnesses is but filthy rags. It's only through the Spirit of life, it's only through the work of the Spirit in our lives that we can have righteousness expressed through the person of Christ living in us. And that's what the emphasis is going to be in the next couple of weeks. And I want to point out today, and I'll mention it every sermon, everybody doesn't see sanctification or Christian living the same way I do. And I don't mean to be argumentative with anybody else. I don't mean to say, oh, you're wrong or anything like that. But for me and what I see the Scriptures teach is what I will share. And if you don't agree with that, that's fine with me. I would simply ask, like Dr. Phil often asks, how's it working for you? I mean, and I'm not saying that facetiously or anything. It's between you and God. And so in the coming weeks, if I say anything that causes you to go, oh, I don't believe that, or I don't like that, or anything else, that's fine. You don't have to agree with me. And so here, we can now live a new life because we've been united with Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. All of this is about that transition from the Spirit of life delivering us and setting us free from the law of sin and death. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 21, for since death came through a man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now, again, I'm going to share something here, and this may cause some of you to think a little bit. But for as in Adam all die, what's that referring to? Our position as a child of Adam. And in Adam, when he sinned, everybody died spiritually. And so in Christ, all will be made alive. Every human being that was ever born died in Adam. It says all will be made alive. Does that mean every human being that's ever been born will be made alive? No, only those in Christ. In Christ, all will be made alive. And so it's important to understand that we're not universal reconciliationists, which means that everybody's going to be okay in the end. God's going to take care of it and throw out those verses about the lake of fire and all that that's going to burn forever. Throw out the idea that those people that are cast in there will be there forever. We're all going to be redeemed. That's not what this verse is saying. It's saying all will be made alive in Christ. Let's go to Romans 5:12, where it supports this idea of all sinning. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. A lot of people say, well, that's not fair. I didn't sin. I didn't do it. Well, God declares that because Adam did it and we're all his offspring, then we too did it in Adam. And just like being baptized into Christ, Christ died at Calvary, we too died at Calvary. That's where we were delivered from the law of sin and death. Okay, let's go on down in Romans 5 to verses 16 through 18. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. That's what we just talked about in verse 12. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And so there's a specific group of people that Paul's talking about here. He says, those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. How do we get the gift of righteousness? Through faith, believing that Jesus died for our sins, and then he's made unto us our wisdom, our sanctification, our righteousness. And then it goes on, the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. Again, that's universal condemnation. So also, the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. That doesn't mean the entire human race. It means for all men who have received the gift or the provision of righteousness. And so that is, let's go back to Romans chapter 1 and read those two verses again. Romans chapter 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I'm sorry if I said something different. Okay. I pray that you understand what those verses are declaring. That there's no condemnation, there's no judgment. You should not ever again feel guilt. You might feel judgment. You might feel the judgment of the Spirit of God convicting you of your sin. But you're no longer guilty before God. He has no judgment or condemnation towards you. And that's what's so marvelous about the gospel of the grace of God. That you know what? The vast majority, the world doesn't believe it because they're all the ones dead in trespasses and sins. But a large part of professing Christianity particularly doesn't believe this either. Oh, you gotta repent and you gotta confess your sins and you gotta do all kinds of things to satisfy God. God's telling us here, he's done it all for you and you've been delivered from that law of sin and death. And that's what the law did. The law condemned every person that was ever under it. The law was never given to save anybody. It was given so that we might know, they might know, their sinfulness. And God has put a modicum of law, righteous living, in every one of our hearts, and we know we've fallen short in that. I was never under the law, even though I was taught the Ten Commandments and knew that I had failed many of them and felt a great sense of guilt. And the unsaved should feel guilt because they are guilty. We, before we were saved, should have felt guilt and a godly sorrow that should bring us to repentance. But having believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, when I sin now, I know I've been delivered from the law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth shall die. I know that my sin will not lead to my death because of these verses. But most people, oh no, that's not the truth. You got to do this. You can't. God can't do bless you or anything if you're sinning. That's not the gospel of the grace of God. I might be a radical in regards to grace, but I believe I can support it with the scriptures. And that's how radical the true grace of God is. The people that still think that we can do something to merit God's favor. We can do something to deserve God's to smile at us. You know, the only thing that has satisfied God, the only thing that has propitiated God, has been the blood of His sinless Son. And now He can smile at us continuously because of our faith in Christ. And so, are you rejoicing this morning? Because there is no condemnation for you. Are you filled with thanksgiving because the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death? And so, if the men will come forward to disperse the elements, as you prepare your hearts this morning for communion, I pray that you can still recall a time when you were under the curse of sin and death. But now through the sacrifice of Christ and your faith in Him, God has freed you from that. And so as we look at these elements and hold them in our hands today, they have no mystical power or anything, but they're there to remind us of the body and blood of Christ that was